Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Wendy Papazian.
And I'm Sarah Reynolds. Today is Wendy and I's day to talk about one of my favorite topics. And Wendy and I are such a good mix of one another, I would say. And so you are in for a treat today. We are talking about 8 mistakes to avoid when closing a deal. So 8 mistakes to avoid when closing a deal. And so this is a very tactical episode to help with sales skills, with closing skills, and to help improve no matter what industry you're in, no matter what business you're in, you need to have the ability to close and to ask for the business and handle objections and all of that. So we are going to dive into 8 things to avoid when it comes to closing a deal.
Yeah, I love that, Sarah. Well, and what's interesting is sales doesn't change very much. Sales techniques don't change very much. I was looking at Jay's, I guess, article in his newsletter, The 20%er, this morning.
Which is so good, by the way.
I don't know if you read it today. It's really,
I haven't read it yet.
Well, it talks about building your database, and he quotes this. So it's kind of crazy, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. We had this little book show up at our door from Amazon Amazon, like from the 80s. And I opened it up and it had like this cheesy sales cover. And it had these little Rolodex cards on the inside that you could literally like perforate out and stick in a quote unquote Rolodex. Anyway, the whole thing about the 20%er was like how sales hasn't really changed. Like it doesn't really change. And it doesn't change from year to year. It doesn't change from industry to industry. I mean, literally the things that we're talking about today are 100% timeless, no matter what decade it is. So those of you who are listening to this podcast in, I don't know, 2040, still going to apply. It's still amazing. So
our grandkids that are listening right now.
I know. Well, I'm reading The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek right now. I'm rereading it. So I kind of have that on my mind. Anyway, we digress. Let's get to the meat of it. Okay. Mistake number one is not asking the right questions in the beginning to connect and understand someone's motivation and really their personality type. And whether you call it the DISC or Enneagram or whatever personality type you kind of follow, it's really important to ask really good questions to answer those 3 things. You need to know if they're, like for instance, a high S on the DISC, someone who needs support to make a decision. Yep. They might be a high C. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Yeah, like if they like to move slower or want you to pick up the speed or so asking questions to try to identify who they are as a person.
Yeah. And are they a thinker? Do they need a lot of information to make a decision? Do they want you to get to the point quickly, right? Like a high quote unquote D, a driver is just gonna want the information they need to make a really fast decision. And so if you don't know that before you go in and present to someone, you're at a big disadvantage.
For sure. That's the biggest thing that I see when we bring on new agents and we're coaching them up at Empower Home, one of the biggest things I see is not asking questions to get to their motivation, to get to their why, and going right into, this is what we do to get home sold. Well, you know, I know it's cliche, it's said a lot, but people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And part of caring is asking those questions in the beginning. So
absolutely. Yeah. Selling is not telling.
Yes. That's right. That's right. So that was mistake number one. So not asking the right questions in the beginning. The mistake number two is once you have identified who they are, what's important to them, identified their personality behavior, then a big mistake that we see people make is not presenting to them like they want to be presented to. And so once you identify it and ask those questions, and that's why that comes first, the important thing there is to match the other person. And so sales is not about what we want or what we care about, right? It's all about solving someone else's problem and meeting them where they are. And honestly, this actually applies to leadership as well. I was talking to one of my leaders this week, And he kept making comments about, you know, wanting to change the other person. And I looked at him and I said, you know, part of leadership is meeting them where they are. So have you first met them where they are? Are you speaking to them the way that they can hear it, the way that they can hear it? And so big mistake that we see people make is not presenting to someone like they want to be presented to.
Yeah, I love that. And this goes right along with it, which is number three, which is not matching the seller's motivation and their lifestyle and showing them how we are the best person or team for them based on that motivation. I think a lot of times in sales, we have a quote unquote sales pitch or presentation or something that we're relying on, which is fantastic. That's fine that if you do that. But at the same time, the reason you want to memorize that presentation is so that you can be really present in the moment and adapt both your presentation and then match their motivation in the moment. And that is what's hard about sales. It's not hard to memorize a presentation, but it's hard to adapt it in the moment. And I can remember going on a listing appointment once, and we had sent all the necessary paperwork ahead of time to this sweet little couple. And I got there and they had set out a card table and they'd put a little doilied like tablecloth over it. And they were both sitting behind on one side of the table and they had all of the listing paperwork printed out and signed in little stacks on this little table. And so I walked in the door and, you know, a younger me would have just gone through my presentation anyway, but you know, at a certain point you understand what people are looking for. So I sat down, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Seller. It sounds like you're ready to go. It sounds like you're ready to sign the paperwork. You know, I'm looking at all this thing and they're like, yeah, let's go. So like I could have spent an hour with them walking them through everything. And for sure I was answering their questions, but it's just a good reminder of, hey, they're ready to go. They didn't need to see my dog and pony show. Yeah. And so that's one of the things that as you get good at sales, that becomes easier.
The key there is paying attention, right? Pay attention to the other party and look at signals, body language. Like, I mean, what do they have out in front of them? You know, because sometimes you can out-talk your way out of a sale because you're talking instead of matching them in what they're about. I think the big thing with that too is one book that's had a big impact on me is called The Ultimate Sales Machine. And in that, it talks about someone will retain 70% more if there's a visual or a way for you to like demonstrate what you're saying versus just saying it. And so with that, you know, I tell my agents, for example, we are big on like buyer matching. So we take a listing and then we match it to our database. And, you know, I say, you can say that to a client, a potential client, or you can show them, like take your phone out and show the matching happening in our Slack buyer matching channel, right? Mm. And so it's way more impactful when you can show it, demonstrate it, and not just say it. Mistake number four is not being prepared. Oh my goodness. Preparation leads to confidence. Preparation leads to confidence. And so a big mistake that we see people make is not doing the prep work, not doing the practice, not doing, you know, can you imagine if our military never practiced? Like how well will they be when it comes to wartime, right? If they don't spend time on their skills, What are some ways that you guys prepare so then your agents are confident?
Well, we script, of course. We script, if you're a new agent, you're scripting four times a week on our team. And I think it's what, you know, I think the best example of that is, I think a lot of times people who are quote unquote good at sales or get into sales, they're kind of good at winging it. You know, they're kind of good at communication and they're kind of good at speaking in front of people. And their whole life, they've been told that they're good at it. And actually, somebody who's not comfortable speaking in front of people, who practices a lot, will eventually become 100 times better than somebody who attempts to wing it. And yeah. I've seen that with Jay, you know, over time. He's introverted and he prepares for every single. So this is a guy who's done, I don't even know, thousands of speeches on the one thing.
Thousands.
Over the past 10 years. Yeah, thousands. Yeah. And in the smallest way, like if he's doing a 15-minute Zoom with my team on the one thing. Mm. I mean, this is a book he spent 7 years writing. You know, he's been living it for 10 years. He will sit down and he will take 5 to 10 minutes to prepare for that 15-minute conversation with my team. Yeah. It's remarkable. And he'll show up and he'll be so much better than somebody who is, you know, I hate to say it, but me, who would probably have kind of winged that conversation. And so whatever industry you're in, preparation, preparation, preparation. I mean, what would you think? Like a new salesperson going into prepping. I mean, it would be so many hours of
preparation. So many hours. I have it in my notes and I was actually looking for it this morning. You said something one time that has really stuck with me, and you said, the purpose of scripts is so that you can actually, can listen.
Yeah, be present in the moment.
When you said that, I was like, that was the perfect description of why scripting is important. Like, I had never heard someone word it that way. And I'm like, that's 100% true. Like, how can you listen? How can you pay attention if you haven't script practiced, if you haven't prepared? I mean, no, it's impossible.
Because you've got this inner dialogue of like, oh, I'm so nervous. Am I saying the right thing? I want to close the deal. I need this money. Can I do this right? And if you know what to say, and if you know how to handle objections, which as we all know are just requests for information, right? Yep. Every objection is just a request for information. Yep. Then we know how to handle it instead of like, oh, I'm freaking out. Like, what am I saying? And then you often, like you said before, you often end up talking yourself out of a potential deal because you just keep talking and they're like, I don't know, I'm losing trust and all those things. So, yeah.
So good.
Yep.
As a leader, it can be lonely. You're ready to grow and you realize you need the right community to get you there. With Empire Circle, you'll be surrounded by driven, adventurous women who want more in business and in life. You'll get real-time feedback, personalized guidance, and honest advice from seasoned leaders who have built businesses and net worths in the hundreds of millions, all while living their big lives. If this sounds like the fuel you need to level up your business and your life, Empire Circle is absolutely for you. You can get more information at herbestlife.com by clicking on Empire Circle. Come and let's build your empire together.
Well, then we got number five, which is not closing 5 times. You probably know the data on this, but I think what is it?
Remind me.
Well, most salespeople ask for it one time. So that's the, well, actually, no. The majority don't ask at all. Like, so they go off of like,
oh, that's right. Like,
like they think that the client should be like, who are you to think that like you shouldn't even ask for them to work with you? Like, it's like, wow, you must think really mighty of yourself if you think that like they should be telling you when they're ready to work with you versus you asking them. The clients want us to ask them like, can I work for you? Can I work with
exactly.
you? Like, so the majority actually don't ask. They go off their personality. They go off of like, if they think that they like them and that they just sort of semi move it along. But then I think that it's like 70% after that. So majority don't ask at all. Then 70% only ask one time. And then as you go down, it's actually the data goes all the way to 12 times for calling people. You end up being the only one left that's actually asking for the business. There's this Zig Ziglar quote that I tell my team a lot, which is timid salespeople have skinny kids. And it's sort of harsh. Because, but it's true. Like,
yeah, it's true.
You can't be timid. You've got to ask for the business.
Yeah.
You've got to ask for the business.
Yeah. It's so true. And at the end of the day, people want to know that you want the business. You know, sometimes yes. they might be interviewing a friend or even a coworker or, you know, someone who they think quote unquote needs the business. Yeah. And if you're a top salesperson, they might just think, oh, well, she's got so many deals going. She doesn't even really need the business. Like, she's not even asking for it. You know, they yeah. want you to go in and say, listen, I want to work hard for you. Like, you're yes. important to me. You know, I know how many people have had a bad experience in your situation, and I want you to have a good experience. So I want yeah. that for you. And yep. people want to hear that. You know, who wouldn't want yeah. to hear that? I mean, imagine yeah. if you've got a plumber, you know, who's, you guys have all, you know, done bids around your home
yep.
and you've got an HVAC guy who's like, yeah, well, whatever I can do to earn your business, please, please, please let me know.
Yes.
Please let me know. Yeah. I'll yeah. match any deal. I want it. Yep. I want it. I want it. I want it. And you're like, yep. wow, the person really wants it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my last.
I want to work with that person.
Yeah. The last sort of close that I teach my team is exactly that, is just, I want to work with you. So yeah. what have I not shown you or answered your questions to show my desire for working with, having the ability to work with you. And so what more can I do? And just letting them know we want to work with them. We want to work with them. And then another big mistake. So mistake number six goes sort of along with this, but I think not closing is super important. So asking for the business, but then also not assumptive closing while you're talking with them. So like,
yes.
you know, you want to talk with them like they are your client. You want to talk with them like, you know, moving them along in the process. Like, so an example of that on our team is like, let's go ahead and get the staging consultation scheduled. And so like, that's an assumptive way. Like, they're not going to schedule the stager if they're not planning on working with you, right? So you can assumptively close them to work with you. Assume they're your client from the very beginning,
So you're saying things in the presentation like, well, when we close this deal together, or not yep. if we do this, or yes. if, like, the yep. just assumption
a lot of
is,
when.
I'm here, we're going to work together, and there's no doubt about it. Because what that does is it takes the doubt out of people's minds. Because remember, in sales, for the most part, when you're doing a sales presentation, your job is to get them to trust you in a very short amount of time. And if you're in real estate, you're asking them to trust you with their largest financial asset. And sometimes you're a complete stranger to them.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is remarkable. That's why, yep. you know, if you're in real estate, the listing side of the business is very difficult because you yep. have to do something in such a way where you very, very quickly create yep. trust. You know? And that's yep. hard. That's yep. really hard.
And yeah. and these are the key things that I've seen with working with, like, what we call non-mets. So people that don't know you, like, again, you can't make a lot of assumptions like you can with someone that already knows you, that's a referral, that is a past client. Like, that's, of course, is going to be a bit different. But past clients want us to earn their business too, constantly.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
it's no different, except you do need to show yourself more to people that don't know you, because they have no, other than maybe one marketing piece or hearing your name one time, like, that's all they know. And so yeah. taking that time is important.
Although sometimes I think some of the biggest sales mistakes I've made is not going in if it's somebody I know, especially at the beginning when I got into sales. I don't know if you made this mistake as well, but just assuming that I would get the, you know,
yes.
sale and,
yes.
And then not following the process, not doing all of these things. And then it turns out they're like, oh, well, you know, thank you so much, but I went with somebody else. And you're just flabbergasted. You're like, what? So it is actually almost more important sometimes if it's a close friend or someone
so true.
You know to do these things. So,
yep.
All right. So that was number six. And then number seven is you want to make sure that every meeting ends with either a closed sale, right? Or you're closing for the next meeting. Mm. So you're closing for the sale or you're closing for the next meeting. And, you know, sometimes, as we all know, sales don't happen the first time around. That's just the nature of the business.
Yep.
And if you're not closing for the sale, you're actually setting up an appointment for them to meet with you again.
Yeah. And the more you can do that face to face, the better, right? So like, I see a lot of people that would be like, well, we'll just call you. No, and absolutely, if that's the only thing you can do, do that. But sure. The more that
you're in California and I'm in Texas.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The more you can get face to face with them, the better, the more they know you, the more you know them. I have found that a lot of times just doing that alone will get us the opportunity to work with the client, because they will interview other agents and then they still have that second meeting with us and they're comparing everything. And then we come in and they're ready to go because they've done their whole process and they already know that we're coming in. So such a good
one. And that's easy. That looks like, hey, you know what? I appreciate that you want to call by phone, but I'm going to be in the area anyway. And so I'll just pop by at 5 o'clock after your last meeting. How does that sound?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, that's an assumptive close right there.
Yes. You know? So good. So good. Yep. Mistake number eight, our last one of these, and these are, every time I talk about this, I get so excited. I love this stuff. But the big, honestly, this is, you can be the smartest person. You can be the best public speaker. You can close, do all of the things. But the biggest mistake is not following up with them and giving them a reason through the follow-up to still move forward with you. And so follow-up is where it's at, you guys. Like, I mean, you can close hard at the first appointment, but again, many of them, they're just meeting you. They're just meeting you. And so follow-up becomes king. I've seen people that come on, don't have a lot of natural sales ability, but have amazing relationship building skills. And they follow up. And then they're the ones that are at the top of the leaderboard, not the ones that are so naturally good at selling.
And so follow-up. Well, I would say my top salesperson is 100% that way. Yeah. And we look for people like that. We look for people like that because a lot of people love to close the deal like the first time around, and then it gets boring to them.
Yeah.
If they don't strike while the iron is hot, and the follow-up is everything. I mean, it's in any kind of sales business, if you can be good at follow-up, you're going to be successful, because the reality is, you know, I tell my people on my team, 10% of the business out there is that low-hanging fruit, and 90% of the people in your industry are going after that low-hanging fruit.
Yep.
So you've got 10%, you got 90% of the people going after it, and 90% is in the follow-up. I mean, like, let's take that plumber, for example. Like, imagine if you had a plumbing situation in your office or at your home, and you had a plumber who met with you, and then you said, listen, we just don't have the $35,000 or whatever we need to get our whatever fixed. The chances of a plumber following up with you for a year or 2 years is almost none. I mean, I don't know a single plumber. I don't think that would do that. And yet if one did, if that plumber called you back, Sarah, and said, hey, you told me that you didn't have the money, and so I have, you know, these options for you. Which is kind of what you're talking about. Okay, well, I understand. So would you be offended if I called you back in a month? No, I wouldn't be offended. You know, they called in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6. So at the end of the 2 years, when you're ready to install your new plumbing, is there any chance that you're going to use another plumber?
No.
No. There's literally no chance. Right. Yep. There's literally no chance. So,
it's so important. Follow up is obviously so important to get the client right to close. And I know that that's what the topic of this is. It's also just important even when they do sign, you know, like no one wants to just get signed something and then never cared for after that. Right. Like, so it's like follow up is it's really, you know, we all use the term follow up. I do as well, but I've been with my team just saying relationship building. That's what it is. You're building the relationship with them. And so like they're a human being, they're important, and they need to feel that way.
Yes. Well, and follow-up is so important that we actually dedicated an entire episode to that, episode 86. So if this is resonating with you, definitely go back and listen to episode 86. And
I loved that one. I loved it.
Yeah. This is so good. This such a good reminder.
such a good reminder. But the big eight big mistakes that we see people make when closing a deal or attempting to close the deal. So not asking the right questions in the beginning, not presenting to them the way that they want to be presented to, not matching and demonstrating your value and their motivation, not being prepared so you can speak confidently, not closing five times, not assumptive closing, and not two-stepping the process. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, not following up. So if you do your best to avoid these mistakes, you will have the opportunity to help a lot more people. Which that's what empire building is all about, is helping impact more of people's lives. And we do that through influencing them and closing them for the deal to work with us. So thank you guys for joining us today, and keep out there building your empire. But don't forget to have a big life at the exact same time. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.